Well, good morning to you all. We continue our series of the attributes of God, and we look this morning at a precious attribute, the mercy of God, God's mercy. And I'm going to be speaking about the mercy of God, not in a descriptive way, but in rather a challenging way. Luke 5, verse 32 is my text. 5:32 of Luke. And it's a simple statement of Christ that you've probably heard numerous times. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is Christ's emphatic claim. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Can we pray, please? Holy Spirit, we depend upon your teaching power, your enlightenment, and your grace. May my preaching be, Lord, aided by your Spirit. May the hearing of your word be received by your spiritual grace. We wait on you now, and all the glory to the wonder of these words goes to Christ. Amen. If you think about what Jesus says here in our text, you ought to be a little bit surprised. Familiarity with this passage is a bit of a problem. I mean, Jesus is telling us here that he's not come to call righteous people. He's not come to call respectable, clean-living, pious, religious people. No, he hasn't come for them. He says here he's come to call sinners to repentance. The call of the Lord is for sinners, not for righteous people. Now, do you realize when he first said this, it must have shocked people? I mean, doesn't God want people to be righteous? Is Jesus implying that God likes bad people better than he likes good people? Let's face it, what he says here ought to be a bit of a challenge. Because all the way through the Bible we've been told, you must be righteous to be accepted. And now Jesus tells us here, he's calling sinners to repentance, not the righteous. And this statement that Jesus makes here is illustrated very well in the parable that Jeff read just now. Two men go into the temple, the synagogue, to pray. A Pharisee and a tax collector. Now, the Pharisees were the most famous religious sect in Judaism. They were known for their discipline and their devotion. And the Pharisee stands up, lifts his chin up, throws his chest out and says, "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm a good guy. In fact, Lord, wow, you're probably very lucky to have me on your side. I fast twice a week. That's a lot of hard effort, you know, Lord. I give to the poor. I'm very religious. I pray passionately. And I'm certainly not like this tax collector that's standing next to me. Yuck, you shouldn't even be allowed in here." And the tax collector, I want to remind you, tax collectors were not receivers of revenue like the gentleman we have today. A tax collector was someone in those days, a Jew, who turned his back on his own people to make money with the Romans. A traitor. A treacherous person. Many tax collectors were not allowed into the synagogues. They were considered dirty traitors. Well, this man knows he's not good. He will not even look up. He beats on his breast. "Oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." The parable goes on that the Pharisee walks out not justified by God. For all his religion, for all his good talk, he is not received, accepted by God. The Pharisee walks out rejected. The tax collector walks out justified. Now, how do we explain this? Okay, the Pharisee was a bit of a boaster, I admit. But he was a good guy. He was religious. He was God-fearing. He was a respectable man. And the tax collector was a traitor who turned his back on his own people for the sake of money and was working with the Gentiles. How could it have ended up this way? What on earth is Jesus trying to tell people? Why was the tax collector accepted by God, that wretched man, and the clean-living religious Pharisee rejected? Or in response to the text you have in front of you here, why is Jesus calling sinners to repentance, and he's emphatically not calling righteous? Why? What I'm going to tell you now is so important that your eternal salvation depends upon your hearing my word. Don't switch off and say, oh, I know where he's going, I know this sort of stuff. This is very, very important what I'm saying today. I want to remind you, my job as a preacher is never to entertain you on a Sunday. I'm not looking for you to tell me afterwards that was a good sermon. It is nice if it's good in God's glory, but I'm not here to entertain you. My job is to tell you the truth, the gospel truth. And what I'm going to share with you this morning is of gospel importance. Now, why do I say this? Listen, just like the Pharisee and the tax collector in the parable that Jeff read, it is, I'm sorry to say, very possible that some people even here today may walk out of those doors when the service is over, unjustified by God, just like the Pharisee was. It could be, in the light of our text this morning, that some of you, as nice and as pious and as clean living and as dutiful as you may be, may not hear the call of Jesus today as the word is preached. Now, how dare I say that? The key to Christian salvation is to be found in what I'm going to share with you now. So please hear me. Today we are considering, as I said, the attribute of God's mercy. It's a beautiful word in the New Testament. It's hartilios. Theou, the mercy of God. Now, what does the Bible mean by that word, eleos? What is this word, mercy? Listen to the definition in the dictionary. This will clear it up. This is what mercy means. It means compassion and kindness shown to wretched, desperate, broken people. The Bible tells us that God has a special place in his heart for broken, wretched, repentant people. God is moved with compassion and concern when people cry out to him in repentance and despair. God is a God of mercy. He's merciful to the broken and the contrite. If you want a good picture of the mercy of God and what it looks like, think of the story of the father in that beautiful parable of the prodigal son. You all know it, don't you? The father had a son who took away his inheritance from the father before time, went into a distant city and squandered his father's hard-earned money, wine, women, and song. He just blew his dad's money, dragged his father's name in the mud, and ended up in of all places, in a pigsty, feeding pigs. Remember, he's a Jew. How low can you go? Feeding pigs in a pigsty. He squandered his father's money, disgraced his father's name, and then he goes broke. And in his desperation, he's so desperate, he says, well, I'd better go back home. But I won't go back as a son. I'll just ask my dad for a job. And he comes staggering back, wretched and poverty-stricken. How does the story go? As the father sees his son coming up the road, he doesn't wait for him to get there. He runs. He grabs his son, wraps his arms around him, unconditionally accepts him. He just is so glad his son's come back again. That's a lovely picture of a merciful father, isn't it? And Jesus tells us in that parable that this is what God is like with us. God gladly forgives us when we come back to him in repentance for mercy. God is a God of mercy. In other words, God has compassion and concern for broken, desperate, needy, fallen people who cry out to him. God's a God of mercy. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, okay, if God is so merciful, if God is a God of mercy, as you say, then why are so few people really touched by his gospel mercy? How is it that many people will hear this message of the mercy of God in their lifetime, and let's talk honest truth, they'll end up separated from him for all eternity? Why, if God is so merciful, should anybody be lost in this world? How can we reconcile the mercy of God with the fact that there's a place called hell? Well, here I come to my challenge. I hope you hear it, because I have to hear it myself. And I can't begin to tell you how concerned I am for what I'm going to tell you, because it's a burden I struggle with all the time, and I hope you struggle with it too. What I'm going to tell you now is the reason why nominal Pharisaical religion exists even in our day and is widespread even in Christian churches around the world, and why many people will never really be saved by the power of the gospel, religious as they may be. Let me tell you why. Now, I know if you're a proud person, you won't even get this anyway, but I'm going to pretend you're all listening, okay? Here's a fact. God is a God of mercy. The gospel is an offer of mercy. But so many people who hear the gospel deep in their hearts find it very hard to respond to it, because they don't really feel they have any need of mercy. I mean, mercy is something you offer to losers, isn't it? You know, you offer mercy to hopeless cases, drug addicts, criminals, bad, desperate people. They're the ones that have nowhere to go. They're the ones that need mercy. And many of us don't really see ourselves as really all that bad. Sure, we come to church and we ask God for help. We come to church for guidance, protection. We're quite willing to come and offer God our services. We believe in God. And we're willing to show that we love him in worship. but we don't believe. We're so bad, so desperate, so wretched, so broken that we need mercy. And therefore, when the call goes out for mercy offered, it just doesn't hit the spot because we don't think it really applies to us. I tell you the truth, this is true. I remember preaching this about 20 years ago now in Cape Town, and I remember it wasn't in my own church because they were used to me. It was in a church I was visiting. And I preached sort of what I'm preaching now. It was probably a lot more mean. I've become soft in my old age, but it was probably worse. But I remember somebody getting me at the door and saying to me, "You know, you really laid it on thick this morning. Come on, you were a bit harsh on us, weren't you?" And a really soul soft-looking person said, "Do you know all the lovely Christians in this church? Do you know how committed and dedicated they are? If you want to preach this sort of sermon, then go to the prisons, go to the whorehouses, go to the nightclubs and preach this sort of message there. But we don't need that sort of message here. We're respectable people." I promise you, that's what I was told. By the way, I wasn't invited back there ever again. Really? As respectable as you are this morning, you don't need to hear this? What do you think the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector is trying to tell you? What do you think Jesus is trying to tell you in this passage we're looking at today? Let me spell it out for you. God, the God of the Bible, is a God of mercy. In the gospel, God offers you mercy. The gospel is a call to the broken, the wretched, the desperate, the prodigal sons of this world. Now, if you deep in your heart don't believe you really need mercy, if you think you're getting along in your own gumption and effort for yourself, the gospel offers you nothing. Because all the gospel is an offer of mercy. And if you think you're here to help God along, you don't need the mercy yourself, but you're here to help all the wretches. The gospel has nothing to say to you. If you think you're a respectable, decent person and your life is sorted, the call is not to you. That is why the Pharisees were the worst enemies Jesus had. If you don't think that you're all that sinful, you've got nothing to do with the mercy of the gospel. Now, this is so important. It's important because I am convinced, and I know that anybody who looks around will be convinced, that the spirit of Pharisaism didn't die in the first century. There are many well-meaning religious people today who think that basically, oh, they've got their faults, but they're decent people. And they're here in church to help God and to build his kingdom. But it's not the fact that they're coming for a blood transfusion. We're having communion now, remember? Because they're dying and wretched. That's what the gospel's all about. And it's not really going to impact you unless you realize how desperately you need mercy. We're not in church to give God a hand in making this world a better place. That might come into it as he uses you. But we're here because we need mercy. Well, I'm here because I need mercy. And the call of God is for sinners to come to a merciful God. Mercy is what the message of Christ is all about. The hope for the hopeless. Unless you've tasted of what Martin Luther called a state of godly despair, you won't know the wonder of the Christian message. We're not a group of do-gooders. We're people that have come for a blood transfusion because we're dying. Unless you realize how much you need God's mercy, you're going to walk out of here, I can assure you, as empty and as unjustified as the Pharisee in the parable. All God has to offer you this morning is mercy. And if you think you don't need it, God has nothing else to offer you. Those who are forgiven much are the ones who love much. Jesus is not calling anyone here that's here because they're righteous. No one is righteous but God alone. And even today, right around this world, I know there will be people who will come to church and they'll walk out unjustified because they have not accepted the humiliating call of mercy for wretched people. You know, someone put it like this. They said, the problem with real soul-saving Christianity is not that the bar is set too high. It's not that people can't reach up and get it because it's too high. The problem is the bar's set too low. Many people are not prepared to get on their hands and knees and crawl under as repentant sinners. And unless you get there and say, Lord, well, let me put it this way. If you have not yet struggled with Romans 7, you've got no place for Romans 8. Unless you have cried out to God day by day, oh, wretched man that I am. Lord, the good I want to do, I find I just can't do it. I fail again and again. The things I shouldn't do, I keep on doing. Who will rescue me from this body of sin and death? Unless you've cried that out in your heart, you will not know the wonder of Romans 8. There is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. It's put this way in Psalm 51, verse 16. David says to God, Lord, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. No, the sacrifice of God is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O Lord, you will not despise. You see, the power of the gospel is to realize the mercy in the cross of Jesus. And if you don't think you really need mercy, it's really just words, this religious stuff, isn't it? God is merciful, and he reaches out his hand in mercy. Do you realize how much you need him? Pride is a terrible thing. I'll tell you a bit of my story. My parents were, I grew up in an army family. We were on army bases in Kenya and Malta. But in 1968, we moved back to England. Big mistake. My dad was demobilized. We came back and he lost all his money in a business venture and we were broke. We ended up in one of the worst towns in the country. Sorry if you come from there, Rochdale. Oh my goodness, for 1 year, 1969, we were poverty-stricken. Honestly, we walked around in rags. My nickname at school was Tramp. I really was poor. In the 60s, people were poor, not like now. And I remember once a neighbor calling me over and handing me a duffel coat. Remember those Paddington Bear duffel coats used to get in the 60s? I didn't have a coat. I took it home and I showed my mother, look what my mother's given, what were the neighbor's given. She was angry. She said, listen, she went and she gave it back and she came back to me and said, we are not a charity case. We don't accept handouts. Now, I needed a coat, but she would not take one because it was a handout. Okay, she came from reasonably well-off circumstances. We hit hard times, but her pride would not let her take a handout. Now, there are people in our churches, and I'm not knocking this church because I promise you I had no individuals here in mind. I speak first to myself. But there are people who might hear the gospel, but they'll never be impacted by the gospel because they don't want God's hands out. They'll help God, they'll serve him, they'll be faithful to him. Jesus says this, come unto me, all you who are weak, weary and heavy laden. That's laden with sin and remorse. And that's the offer. Now, if you're not prepared to get on your knees and accept that offer, the power and the wonder of God's mercy will never really shake you on the inside. Those who've tasted the mercy of God know the power of the gospel. It's those who know they are forgiven much that cherish the glorious forgiveness of God. Yes, God is merciful, but he's not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let's just pray. We do pray, Father, that as we realize the sinfulness of our hearts and the purity of your holiness, that as we share around your table later, again, we'll just be amazed at your grace that saved a wretch like me. For Christ's sake, amen. And Father, we confess before you, we just don't love the way we should. We can be so selfish, so unfair sometimes. We're so wrapped up in ourselves and our own concerns, and Lord, the world is dying around us. We are cold. We fail you daily, and we know it. And yet the wonder of the gospel is you reach out in your perfection to such as we. And Lord, we need this transfusion of your holy blood into our wretched hearts. We need this food that comes from heaven. We are hungry today. We are thirsty. And what we're thirsty for is not praise and applause, but mercy. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.